Well, I think many of us have seen pictures or even have been to California. There's a lot of imported Californians these days, but you've been out to California, you've seen those huge redwood trees. You don't have to raise your hand, but I think most of us are familiar. Those trees that are big enough to literally drive a car through because they're so wide. And the interesting things about redwoods is that while they go up hundreds of feet into the air, I mean, just these insanely large trees, what's fascinating about these tall trees that live for centuries, I mean, they're just so old, is that they actually have a very, very shallow root system. And you'd kind of be shocked. You would think a tree that large would have really deep roots, but in fact, the roots are very shallow. But what's interesting about these trees and why I'm throwing this out there is that in order for the redwoods to flourish, they have to have other redwoods around them. See, their root system is one that works by having other trees to join with. And the strength of their root system is really made up in there being a lot of trees. And you'll find that a lot of times in those forests in Central California and Northern California that you'll find the trees that actually don't make it are the ones that were left alone without any other trees around them, that the elements end up knocking those trees down because they don't have the interlocking roots of others. Why am I mentioning this? Well, when I think about those trees, I think a lot about the Christian life. I think we are a lot like those trees. We're a lot like those trees because the truth is, unless we're joined together with other believers in fellowship and in service, we are just vulnerable targets. And we need to be knit together with other Christians in order to flourish, in order to thrive. And, the challenge tonight really is, I think, the best thing for us because, let me just be honest with you, there is such a blessing in serving others. And in being a part of God's work and locking arms with God's people. And, as we look into 1 Peter, we're looking into the words that were written by the Apostle Peter. And Peter himself was a man who had grown so much in his spiritual life that he wanted to help others grow and experience the fullness of walking with Jesus. One of the things I always like as a side note just about Peter as we jump into this book and we look into this one verse is Peter's just an encouragement for us. Why? Well, because he made a lot of mistakes. You know, he had foot and mouth disease. And he did a lot of things wrong, but he learned from his mistakes and he moved on. And I think for a lot of us that's encouraging, isn't it? I mean, what if all the great Christians of the past never made any mistakes, and some of the apostles from Scripture, I think we'd all just kind of be bummed out and feel defeated even before we started, right? Well, it's neat because Peter died serving the Lord and really others, and he set an example for us. And tonight, as we study just this small part of 1 Peter chapter 4, we come to Peter reminding the believers, listen carefully, about the important things that help the church to be a place of blessing and encouragement. I want you to listen to the words of verse 10. It says this, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, it's interesting, when you look at that verse, you maybe immediately see the word minister. And it's important before I give you the outline and we talk about, everything that, that Peter is saying here just in this one little verse, that we understand very clearly that in our world today, there are many misconceptions about the word minister. I'll never forget, as a new Christian, I was a waiter. And I was a waiter in Austin, of all places. And of course, I grew up here. And as I began to wait tables, some of you who maybe are in the restaurant business, maybe you're a waitress or a waiter, you know that there are sometimes those people that show up on Sundays, and they're often called the church people. And sometimes that's bad, by the way. But let me just say that one time I was waiting tables and this guy came in and he was all churchy. He had all his churchy clothes on and he sat down and he sort of looked at me and I looked at him and I was a believer and I said, hey, how's it going? And I started talking about the Lord and, I asked him if he knew Jesus and his question was, well, I'm a minister. And he sort of said it with this glare like, I'm a very special individual. And so I looked at him, and I was kind of confused, and I said, well, okay, you're a minister, and knowing what that word means, I said to him, I said, well, where do you serve at in your church? And he just sort of looked at me and was just, I'm just a minister. You know, for him, it didn't have anything to do with practical Christian service. It had to do with a title. It had to do with him being labeled as someone that others could look at and go, ooh, that guy's real spiritual and all. There are many misconceptions about being a minister. You know, the word minister means servant, and we're going to talk about that word more tonight. But, you know, there's one misconception that I think is the most common. And for many people, we think that ministers are sort of an elite group of people. You know that we're all ministers? That's what the Bible says. There is no elite group. All of us are the saints who have been born again and trusted Jesus Christ. We're all called to be ministers to each other. It changes the meaning, doesn't it? There is no elite group. There are just people that have said yes to the Lord and decided to serve him. And let me just be honest, while the pastor is usually looked at as the minister, we need to understand the Bible teaches that the pastor or other leaders are meant to build up all believers so that they can do the work of the ministry themselves. You know, the church is meant to be a place where there's not just this one individual that's serving Jesus, but a whole bunch of people serving Jesus together in a way that glorifies God. Now, you might be sitting here tonight and think, well, great, this guy's coming to speak and he's telling me what I already know. Well, hopefully, you'll be encouraged. If you're a person that's in a place of serving Jesus and maybe it's getting to be a little bit tough. You know, it's funny, people always start out, I love serving Jesus. They go serve in the children's ministry. I love it. And after 6 weeks, you know, they're scared to death. I'm going to go serve in the youth ministry. I'm going to love it. And then 6 weeks later, I'm like, those kids are going to kill me. You know, they're just scared to death. You know, sometimes we start out thinking it's fun and it gets to be a pretty hard spot. Hopefully you'll be encouraged tonight and wherever you minister, wherever you serve. If you're taking notes, you can write down Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. That's a section of scripture that talks about how God has chosen different people to have different gifts to build up the body of Christ. But the other misconception about being a minister is that, well, I think for a lot of people, they have this misconception to think that we're meant to depend on our own strength. We're meant to depend on our own abilities and charisma. You know, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And so one of the biggest misconceptions is to think, well, I can't serve the Lord because I'm not a very good talker. I can't serve the Lord because I'm not the best looking person. I can't serve the Lord because of this and because of that. And the reality is that God will use anyone who is willing to say yes. I mean, just look at Jeremy Valencia. Sorry. Jeremy used to be my roommate, so I can make jokes about him occasionally. But listen, you know, it's interesting because when we think about ministry, when we think about service in the church, you know, there's a lot of statistics, and I don't want to go into these because I don't have time tonight, but, you know, really for the past several decades, church volunteerism has continued to go down. There's a lot of people that perceive the church, instead of it being a place where people can get together and worship Jesus and serve the Lord together, they see it as a place where they can go and get something for themselves. It's sort of like a drive-through. Spiritually speaking. And there's all kinds of statistics, even Barna and some other groups that just show how many people do not value fellowship. Some have even gone as far to say that there's only 1 in 5 adults that even donates some of their time and energy to the church. And I think when we come to Scripture, we find something else being taught. We found something else that's being shown. Really, for us as Christians, we're meant to be involved. You know, let me just say, if you're here tonight and you don't know anybody, if you're here tonight, maybe you're new to the church, maybe you've been thinking to yourself, man, I don't know if these people are very friendly. Just serve. Just get involved. Just be a part of what's going on. You will know people very quickly, and relationships will develop. Now, because there are many misconceptions about what a minister is, it's very important to remind the church, and this is what Peter does, it's very important to remind the church about how we all as believers are gifted by God. And that's the title. I want you to think about that and personally connect with the idea that you have been gifted by God and called to serve in the body of believers in some form or fashion. There are three parts to the statement that Peter makes about being gifted by God. And you can write these down, and I'll go back over them as we move through them. But first, he points out a very meaningful truth in the first part of verse 10. And then he goes on and he really gives out a very important calling. He's reminding all of us as Christians, this is an important call for us to answer. And then at the end of verse 10, well, all of this is for a critical reason. And we'll come back to that. But listen, if you're wondering what 1 Peter is about, I don't know if you've studied this letter before or been familiarized with it, but you know, it's really a letter that was written by the apostle to a bunch of people in the midst of all their suffering and hardship, in the midst of their difficulties. And from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to chapter 2, verse 10, he's pointing out all of the blessings that God brings to God's people. And in chapter 2, verse 11, all the way to chapter 4, verse 19, he's talking about how believers should live in a way that honors God in the midst of trouble and testing and suffering. Chapter 5, Peter is talking to the leaders and the followers about the structure and the function of how church leadership should operate. And really all of chapter 4 is Peter giving instructions to Christians about how to behave and to be unified in the midst of suffering and testing. And really right up to verse 10, he tells them, he says things like this. He says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. He tells the believers, he says, have a fervent love for one another. He says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. You know, if you've ever decided to serve and be involved in a church, I think it's important to say sometimes you get involved in a church, and some of us, for some strange reason, think that when people get together and serve the Lord, that there's not going to be any problems. There's not going to be any issues. No. It's just natural. We all decide to serve together and somebody offends us and somebody says something, we have to know that's already going to happen. It doesn't matter how spiritual the place is. There's going to be some challenging things. And so we need to stay put. But focusing there on verse 10, we get a great challenge from the Apostle Peter with regards to our own usefulness within the kingdom of God. And so the first part of verse 10 shows us a very meaningful truth. And I want you to zero in on verse 10, and I want you to notice what it says there. As each one has received a gift. You know, this first part of verse 10 is very meaningful because it points out a very important fact. It points out a fact, and you can write this down, try to remember this, is that all believers matter. Each person has a gift. Everybody matters. And the reality that the Bible teaches is that everybody who's a born-again Christian at least has one gift, but may have many gifts. And we're all called to minister those gifts to one another. When he says each one, he's talking about believers. And really, he's telling us, he's saying that each Christian has received an important gift from the Lord. The word gift means a very special ability given to the believer by God. Now, for me, when I first became a believer 18 years ago, my spiritual birthday was on the 2nd of September this month. I celebrated turning 18 in the Lord. And I know when I first got saved and I wanted to serve Jesus that right away I had this sense of, I just want to help with whatever. And I would be willing to go in and clean the children's church, the scariest job that was, and do other things just because I wanted to serve and be a part. And really, that was the gift of service. It's the gift of helps. And I just enjoy doing that. And really, even today, I still have that desire to serve in those ways. But as soon as a person is born again, the Bible says you are given spiritual gifts. Or have a spiritual gift, and it's important to use those gifts. Everybody matters. You know, the ultimate meaning behind this is that every believer has a place in the body of believers. And understand, this meaningful truth is coming face to face with what God wants to do with us in this life. Many times, the way He gifts us is sort of tied to what He wants to do in our lives. You know, God wanted me to learn to trust Him in difficulties, and really, and I say this about Pastor Bungie, I think God wanted me to learn to be courageous for the Lord, and He teamed me up with Bungie as we were new Christians. and I watched him boldly proclaim God's word. And you know, he was used to getting crazy when he was lost, and now he's saved and was doing that for the Lord. And I could also see how God had put different people in my lives to serve with, in my life to serve with, that taught me how to be organized and how to be responsible and challenged me as a new Christian. I think sometimes we tend to think as Christians that, well, I'll serve the Lord whenever my life is totally in order and everything's right. But we have to understand that sometimes we need to just give our hearts over to the Lord and serve Him in whatever way. And many times we get encouraged in our difficulties by other Christians in the midst of serving. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we're saved for a reason. That there's a purpose that God has in our lives. There's, you know, He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's challenging us. And so we need to understand that every believer matters. And Peter is basically saying, hey, each one of you have received a gift. And then the second part of verse 10, notice he goes on and he points to an important call. And this is where he gets a little bit more serious. He says, all of you are gifted. But then he says this phrase there, these five words, he says, minister it to one another. Again, what does it mean to minister? It means to serve. It means to wait upon someone like you wait a table. You know, in a really broad sense, it means to do anyone a service, care for someone's needs. And we really could think about Peter's words this way, serve with your gift or gifts for the blessing of other believers. We really miss out when we say as Christians, well, I'm just going to go to church and I'm just going to sing and I'm just going to hear the study and that's all I'm going to do. You know, we are missing out on what God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to participate and to be a part of what's going on in the body of believers. You know, it's interesting. You can go into every church and there's always a need. There's always a sign-up sheet that says, hey, we need help here. There's always room for more children's workers because people have a tendency to get scared off in that ministry. Just kidding. There's always a need. And so really, we have lots of opportunities around us as Christians. And, you know, 1 Peter 4 verse 10 in one translation says this, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. Passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. And really, let me just say, as we look at the middle of verse 10, this is a call for Christians to be servants. This is a call for Christians to stop sitting on the benches, to stop sitting around and just saying, what can God give me? But to say, I'm going to be used by the Lord and I'm going to serve and be a part of what's going on. This is a challenging verse. Believers are to use their gifts for serving and blessing other people within the body of Christ. No task is too small. I mean, what are the gifts that God gives to believers? You know, the great tragedy is that most believers don't know anything about how they're spiritually gifted. All it takes is prayer, opening your Bibles, looking at different passages in the Bible. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. You can look at Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 that I've already mentioned. And that's a good list of spiritual gifts. But as we began to participate and be involved in the church, our spiritual gifts become apparent. Sometimes it's our desire to do certain things within the body of believers that really shows our gifting. How God wants to use us. I want you guys to listen to many of these one and other verses, and they're found all over the New Testament, but I just love these, and this isn't even all of them, but it's just some of them. But in Galatians 5:13, it tells us this. It says, serve one another. Romans 15:7 says, to accept one another. Colossians 3:13 says, to forgive one another. Romans 16 says, to greet one another. Galatians 6:2 says to bear one another's burdens. Romans 12 talks about being devoted to one another, honoring one another. Romans 15:14 says to teach one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 is one of my favorite ones. It says to comfort and encourage one another. How many of us have needed encouragement, needed comfort in difficult times? You know, the church is supposed to be that place. You know, you may come on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, and you may just have something that's really on your heart that you're excited about. Remember, that's probably not just intended for you. There usually are other Christians that need to hear what God's doing in your life and would be encouraged by hearing those things. You know, it's interesting, James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us to confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. Now, I don't think James had in mind that we just walk into the church up to any random person and go, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. And they don't even know you. You know, this is talking about people that love us unconditionally, that really care about our lives and what's going on with us and the Lord, and we're able to share with them and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Can you pray for me? You know, when it comes to accepting this call in our lives, this is really the biggest step that any believer can take. And you may have already taken this step. You may already be committed in areas within the church body, serving and participating. And I want to encourage you, keep doing it. Keep serving. Keep participating. But if you're one of the people that doesn't see where they're supposed to be involved or hasn't taken that step, I encourage you to take that step. This is a call. This is something that's very important for you in the development of your spiritual life. We're called to serve like a family serves one another. You know, we're called to, serve, obviously, in our homes, in our jobs. Those are areas where we can serve. But Peter is talking about within the gathering of believers, within the body that gathers together to worship and to seek the Lord, serve each other that way. Everybody matters. You know, it's interesting. I remember one time this really became apparent to me. It's great when you go and you hear an awesome Bible study, and I'm sure Pastor Bungie is bringing the word to you guys, and you're, you know, stoked on hearing the word. But sometimes we need to have words from other people. We need to minister to each other. Sometimes we might come to church and we might hear the message and be pondering it, but then it may be someone's life experience and what God's doing in their life that ministers to our hearts where we're at. You know, if you have the gift of teaching, share with people. If you have the gift of exhortation, you know, the strong encouragement, you know, take some time to look around and see who it is that needs encouragement. If you have the gift of service, look for the opportunities that are always there to participate and help in whatever needs to be done. I think that when it comes to the call of using our gifts within the body of believers, there's a question that I ask, and I think it's important to answer this question. Why do so many Christians never use their gifts within the gathering of Christians? Let me just say, in our country, there's some really obvious ones. Number one on the list, too busy. You know, many times our lives are so complicated and we have so many things that we do that we don't need to do that we have no time to think about staying later at church or coming earlier because our lives are so packed with wrong priorities that we really opt ourselves out of using our gifts because of being too busy. And I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves, well, am I letting my life become so busy that I don't have time to serve the body of believers that God has called me to? Sometimes we're too busy. There's so many things to sign up for these days outside of our church family. You know, one of the things my kids do is they do karate. And, you know, recently some things kind of changed to where there's a new instructor and he's wanting the kids to be there every day of the week. And really for it to cost even more. And for me, I've just been saying it's kind of a no-brainer because, you know, for us, if we did that, we would opt ourselves out of all the different ways that we serve. And as a family, we've had to pray about that and really look at things that come on to the horizon to say, is this something that we should do, or should we just keep serving the Lord in these other ways? You know, many times one of the reasons why Christians don't use their gifts for the benefit of others is that they sort of say this, and this is one of the things that's very common. A lot of people will say, well, one day I'll serve the Lord. In the future, when everything's worked out, whenever I finally get my house the way I want it, whenever I finally have the job that I really need, then I'll commit my time to serve the Lord. And really, we make a mistake when we do that, because it really never comes. And we end up just perpetuating and prolonging the inevitable. And the problem is that in the meantime, we need encouragement and we need to use our gifts to be healthy spiritually in the process of those things. Let me also say that one of the most common things is people become hard-hearted. People say, I'm not going to do anything at the church. My life is too messed up. My life is too complicated. Sometimes people can become hard-hearted about this call in their lives. You know, we're all busy. We all have different things going on in our lives. But let me say, when all this is said and done, the only thing that's really going to matter is, what did I do with the time that the Lord gave me? What did I do with the talents that God endowed to me, these spiritual gifts? What's going to matter when all this is said and done? Well, lastly, this is all for a critical reason. The end of verse 10, notice what it says, that ministering our gifts to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards could be translated faithfully administering. You know, Peter's saying here that serving one another with our gifting is really a matter of being responsible for the grace of God that's been poured into our lives. It's a matter of responsibility. You know, it's interesting, because sometimes when we don't value the gifts that God has given us, or we don't realize that we all matter within the body of Christ, sometimes we can think, well, I can miss church and it's not going to matter at all. But it does. It's a matter of responsibility. You know, in this idea of being a steward, you know, a steward was a slave who was given the responsibility of the master's estate, both the home, the property. And that steward would be in full charge of all of the affairs of the master. And so the point here is that believers are stewards of the Lord and the gifts they've been given. Been given this grace from God, these abilities, and we should use them because it's the right thing to do. You know, it's interesting, because when you think about a steward, you know, a steward didn't really have any wealth of their own. They merely distributed the wealth that they were given to be responsible with. And for us as Christians, we don't have any spiritual gifts of our own, per se, coming from us. We receive those from the Lord. That's why one of my favorite quotes from Warren Wiersbe has always been, he wrote a book called On Being a Servant. Maybe you've heard of that book, or maybe even read it, but he talked about how we're called to be distributors, not manufacturers. And when we start thinking that we have to manufacture things, then we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We're meant to distribute the grace of God that's given to us. You know, one of the biggest blessings in the Christian life is to hand out what the Lord hands to us. Jesus said it very, very clearly. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So all of that in context here, understand that when you feel troubled, when you feel like your life is a wreck, when you feel like there's no reason for you at all to go to church, and you think you just need to go and get your life together, listen, one of the best things you can do is forget about yourself and go fellowship with other believers and seek to encourage others around you and serve others, rather than just to ponder and focus on your own life and your own troubles. You know, that's so easy to do. It's a little bit harder for me, because I can't just stay at home on Sunday, because then there's not going to be anybody to show up to preach. You know, people will be wondering, where's he at? Well, he just didn't feel like coming today. You know, that wouldn't be a good thing at all. It's so easy just to just to opt out when so many times we need to seek to share with others and give to others. And that's one of the ways that we can be uplifted. Why? Well, because we forget about ourselves. And that's called humility. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 15:10, listen to what Paul said. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the grace, or his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You know, Paul always recognized that his abilities and what he was doing was never of himself, but was from the Lord. He was only what he was by the grace of God. God's grace wasn't in vain. You know, when we as believers humbly recognize our much-needed partnership, you know that the word fellowship actually means partnership? When we recognize that we need to be partners with other believers in the body of Christ, you know, our gifts can be used more effectively. We begin to appreciate others' gifts. The body is meant to be knit together. Like those trees I talked about, they can't stand unless they are linked together in the roots with one another. You know, the church isn't meant to be this place where we, you know, the building where we show up and we just casually know people. We're meant to be connected as Christians, knowing each other. What's going on in each other's lives? How can I pray for you? Here's what the Lord did in my life. That's what fellowship is all about. Listen to one translation. Verse 11, as Peter concludes this challenge about being gifted, he says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, do it with all strength and energy that God gives you. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The reality of what Peter says in verse 11 is that God will give us the spiritual strength that we need to use our spiritual gifts. Our abilities should be faithfully used in serving others, and the body needs people to be connected with one another. We all matter. It's a critical calling, and it's very important. And so if you're serving, and maybe you're a little bit weary, don't be weary in well-doing, as Paul says in Galatians. Be encouraged. Keep doing that. If you're not serving and you feel disconnected or you're not, just choose to get involved somewhere. Ask the Lord how you can participate and be involved with other Christians. Come early and stay late, and you will find areas and ways to help. Somebody may hand you a plunger, but that's serving the Lord too. It's an awesome thing when the body of Christ works together in unity. And I want to close with just this story. And I know some of you guys are like, he always goes till 8:30. Well, not tonight. But I want you to listen to this story. And I thought it was so cool. Listen, this is awesome. An example of unity that occurred. It was a long time ago, but it's one of those great missionary stories. I don't know what you guys tell your kids in terms of stories, but my wife, she's the really spiritual one in my house, but she thought up the idea that, you know, we're going to tell the kids missionary stories and all the great things that God has done, and that's been really cool. The kids really enjoy those stories, but this is one of those type of stories, a missionary story, but it was a certain area of China where some missionaries had been laboring, and one man, you know, who was coming often to the services that were being presented there, you know, eventually, he kind of seemed like he was convicted by the Spirit, and one day he actually openly confessed that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of his newfound faith in Jesus, he in this particular area of China, it meant that he could no longer, in good conscience, worship his ancestors the way that so many people did who were around him. And it was just at this point when he became a Christian that the new year was coming. And at that time, in that particular culture, they were supposed to perform all of these usual rites of burning paper and incense to all their ancestors. And really, in a long story short, practice a bunch of pagan rituals. And he refused to do this. And the decision was given out by the head of that particular clan that unless this man recanted of not wanting to honor his ancestors, that he would be beaten with 1,000 stripes. Basically, we're going to whoop this guy 1,000 times and probably kill him at one point with that many stripes. And they would have been able to wreak this, you know, vengeance upon him because of just the way the government was run at this period of time. And as the 15 days drew near, another native Christian went to visit the head of that clan. And he said, in essence, hey, you don't really understand the Christian faith. And, you know, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is his father and every other believer is his brother or sister. And he was trying to tell this leader, this Christian, was that, you know, we're all one family. And this is what he says, and I love this part of the story. He says, I couldn't see my brother beaten and stand idly by. And he goes on to say this, what all we Christians have decided to do for our brother's sake is this. If you insist on carrying out your sentence, all of us in the country around who are Christians are going to come and be beaten with him. Say, hey, we're going to get you to give us stripes too. Now, this guy's kind of freaked out, this head of the clan, and he goes into a discussion all night. He didn't know what to do. He realized that if he beat all of these innocent people, supposedly, it would be problems. And so what happened? Well, it was pretty neat because he finally sent out apologies saying, I really don't understand the Christian faith, and we're not going to beat this guy after all. Here's the moral of the story. That verdict, that torture was averted because the unity of the Christians proved to be greater than all of the heathens and their punishments around. You know, and the idea here is that, you know, God was glorified in that. And when we as believers are discovering and using the gifts that God has given us, man, we're a force to be reckoned with. When people are united together and serving one another and ministering to each other, the church becomes a place where it really is a sanctuary away from the world, where we can go and be encouraged and challenged and lifted up. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is your ministry? Where are you serving within the walls of this building? How are you participating in this body of Christ that's here? Listen to what Paul said again. This is from 1 Corinthians 12. He said this, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. God wants the body to be diverse and a place where people are ministering to each other. I want to just close by mentioning several things. You know, why is there such a need for ministers in the church today? Why is there such a need in churches for servants and people to participate? Well, I think many times, like I said at the beginning, people and Christians in general think sometimes serving the Lord is only for the spiritually elite. Only for those that are really spiritual. No, it's for everybody. One of the main reasons why folks don't get involved and don't serve within the body of believers is because they haven't discovered their spiritual gifts. Another reason is that people would rather, I think, in this world we live in, especially in America, would rather have a fast food Christian experience. Where I go in, I get out with the least amount of commitment possible and receive all kinds of stuff for myself. Sometimes the reason why people aren't serving is because they're committed to too much outside of the walls of the church gathering together. And I think just finally as we close, as we think about Peter's message, I think it's easier for us just to look at the things in life and focus only on those, the natural things, instead of thinking about the spiritual things. And as Christians, we need to understand we're all gifted, we all matter, we're all meant to participate with each other. And I think for a lot of us as Christians, we need to realize that if we go to church and someone makes a comment about, hey, have you ever tried this in dealing with your child that's crazy? Everybody's got some crazy kid, you know, we need help with. You know, please, Lord, help me. Sometimes we need to hear from other people and they can encourage us. Sometimes it's a financial situation. Sometimes it's a difficulty, at work. And by sharing that, we can get prayer and encouragement and wisdom. The church is meant to be a place like that. And I love Peter's encouragement. I love this call. Minister it to one another. Think about that the next time you show up into this place to gather with believers. How can you serve? How can you bless someone else within these walls? Because that's what church is meant to be about. Let's pray.